Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Sharp.
The Boilermakers ended a grueling stretch on Friday as they saw their four-game winning streak come to an end to league-leading but now idle Michigan. A breakdown of Purdue, plus more from the football team's staff additions, that's coming up on Gold and Black Radio. I'm Kyle Charters, Brian Duber here now, Tom Dienhart in a couple of minutes. All right, Brian, here's my just overall question before we get into maybe some Purdue stuff. We're supposed to start playing like tournaments and stuff basically in a month of 5 or 6 weeks. How exactly are we going to get that done considering all these teams that are in and out and what miss, you know, a team getting nuked from the Big Ten tournament at the last minute, what that does to schedules, the NCAA tournament. How is this going to work in a month?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they've got a lot of games to make up, you know, first things first. They got a lot of games to make up here before the postseason. If they want the Big Ten regular season title to mean anything, you know, now, this is what everybody signed up for. I mean, everybody knew this was going to be very possibly a complete chemical spill of the season. But if they want to, you know, the Big Ten planned for this. They planned for there to be postponements and whatnot and that they would have to adjust on the fly. But Nebraska alone is like five games in the hole here, and at least. And I just – they were supposed to play at Purdue this week. That's why the Ohio State game moved up. Obviously, there are continued issues with COVID, deep six, that. And I just don't know how they're going to get all these games in. As I wrote on our site this morning, I've been kind of half-joking in the past week about how the Big Ten ought to call off the Big Ten tournament and just have a jamboree of makeup games in Chicago or Indy just to give the most integrity you possibly can to the Big Ten regular season title. But I don't even know if that makes any sense anymore. I just don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how you can. I mean, as I said before, again, this is what everybody signed up for. Everybody knew this was going to be non-traditional. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew that there were going to be some advantages and disadvantages to all of this for various people at various times. But I don't think you can credibly award a Big Ten championship to somebody, you know, who played 16 games when somebody else played 12, or award the Big Ten title to somebody who played 12 based off winning percentage when somebody else played 16 or 18. Yeah. You just can't do that. I mean, I think that just looking at this from Purdue's perspective, and I'm not talking about them in a Big Ten title context here, just the balance of their season, NCAA tournament qualification, you need it. That game against Nebraska, you lost. That's a W. I mean, that's a game that you win, you know, 90 times out of 100 probably. And that's one more win off their NCAA tournament resume. That's a game in the standings if they were a team that would factor into the Big Ten title hunt. Those games matter just as much as the games, you know, where Michigan plays Iowa. You know what I mean? So they've got to figure out a way to kind of make this up as they go here the rest of the way. I think it's probably too late to just say, you know what, guys, let's play 16 instead of 20. I don't think you can do that because you also don't want to cancel games that are already on the books, but I don't know what they're going to do. But the schedule maker at the Big Ten is going to earn his paycheck in the next couple months for sure. Not that he has.
Yeah. I mean, it's really difficult. I mean, it's not who you've played and when you've played them, but it's who you haven't played and when you haven't played them. And if you can get those games made up, I saw your tweet over the weekend that they should just award the Big Ten championship to the team that plays the most games. It's going to end up being Northwestern. Northwestern's going to finish 3-17, having won 3 straight and lost 17 straight and complete
the
whole
Big Ten title
schedule. Yeah.
Yeah. I wrote this morning on the site, I mean, you're staring at the most illegitimate regular season title in the history of the Big Ten in a lot of different ways here. again, this is what everybody else signed up for. The bigger picture here that everybody's bought into is just having a season, making this work. So if somebody gets screwed on the Big Ten title hunt, you know what? Hey, that's the price you pay for having a season. I think everybody in college athletics has signed up for that sort of thing this year. And I think in the big picture, the most important part of this is that the season went on. There was a season. I think anybody who thought Matt Painter and Mike Babinski were going to back out of the Michigan game because Sasha Stefanovic was out, don't get it. I think everybody's bought into the bigger picture here of just making this season work. And there's going to be some collateral damage and all of that. And the Big Ten title race is obviously going to be a big part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it happened to a certain extent in football, but there was a clear best team. I mean, Ohio State was the best team that won the Big Ten championship. I'm not sure it's quite as clear here in the basketball season. So on to Purdue. Purdue gets through a stretch, plays a billion games in a week, and finishes 4-1 in that stretch. You know, certainly like to see a little better performance against a very good Michigan team on Friday, but – I mean, there was a lot of growth by this Purdue team in the two-week span that led into that game against the Wolverines.
Yeah, and I'm handling – I mean, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but I'm handling the Michigan game differently than the others because I think Purdue losing Sasha Stefanovic and only having 2 days to practice without him before playing one of the best teams in the country, I think that's a big deal. I think that puts an asterisk on this – on that result. I'm not saying Purdue would have beaten Michigan with Stefanovic, but they sure as hell wouldn't have blown out. So I'm viewing that one differently, and I'm kind of separating that from the overall topic of Purdue's growth or whatever. But for Purdue to have won those road games, it's just extraordinary. At the risk of overstating it, at this stage of their development, when they're one of the youngest teams in the country, the way they won some of those games too, the togetherness they showed at the end, the poise they showed at the end, the ability to, I guess, summon their best when they needed it most, just shows a team that looks so much more mature than their years. I think a lot is trending upward right now for Purdue. You know, Travion Williams had played really well most of the Big Ten season, didn't have his best game against Michigan, but, he played really well, for an extended period of time. Jaden Ivey, I think, is really coming on. I think Zach Edey is really coming on again. I think he's kind of caught his – I think he's got his Big Ten sea legs under him. And Purdue's just, I think Sasha Stefanovic has been a rock for Purdue all season long. I think that, a lot was trending upward for Purdue at the time of, them losing Stefanovic before the Michigan game. And I think that's unfortunate because, I kind of hearken back to the year Hummel got hurt. Remember, they only got a few games with their full roster because Lewis Jackson came back from injury, played a few games. Purdue was dominant in those games. And then Hummel gets hurt. And they had a very narrow window of what they were, of being able to show what they could do at full strength. And this team, it's a bad comparison because Stefanovic will be back. But they only had Hunter, Jaden Ivey, Stefanovic, and everybody else together for 10 games, all their key players. They only had them together for 10 games. And in those 10 games, they went 7-3, won four road games, or three road games, whatever it was, won four games in a row, were getting better, and then they get thrown on another disruption. This is a season of disruption around college basketball, but Purdue's dealt with a hell of a lot of it, and only one of them was, related to COVID. So, the issues with Hunter and Jaden Ivey early in the season were obviously setbacks that Purdue overcame, and now here's another one. So Purdue's going to have to figure something out here to get that momentum that they had before Stefanovic went out back.
Probably will take a little bit of everybody stepping up their game, but if there's one guy who does a lot of the things that Sasha does, it's probably Brandon Newman, right? I mean, he's been good this season, but as is typical with a lot of freshmen, maybe a little bit inconsistent. But if there was somebody going to step up, significantly in his place over these next couple of games, he would be a pretty good candidate, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, from a shooting perspective, he's a really good shooter, but he's a very different shooter. You can't run the same stuff with Newman at this stage of his career anyway that you can with Stefanovic because there's, every three-pointer is kind of created differently, and Purdue has built his offense quite a bit around guys who can shoot on the move, you know, Carson Edwards, Ryan Klein, Dakota Mathias, that sort of guy. Stefanovic is that player for Purdue, and that fits so well into the actions they run and commands sort of so much attention. I don't know if Brandon Newman's that guy necessarily yet who can, you know, who can run off 10 screens and shoot the ball, you know, with all of his body weight leaning right to left or left to right, whatever it may be. I just don't think Purdue has another Stefanovic on its roster. So I think they're going to have to change a little bit. I think they're going to have to generate offense different ways. That might mean more stuff being run for Brandon Newman to get him a different kind of shot off of, you know, perhaps modestly different actions. I think, you know, you're going to see more Jaden Ivey ball screen stuff, which I think makes a lot of sense because he's starting to come on a little bit. And I think he gives you something nobody else on your roster gives you in terms of his ability to get to the basket, finish at the basket. I think they're going to need a little bit more for Eric Hunter. Obviously you're going to ask Travion Williams and Zach Edey to continue getting their share of the load handled, but Purdue's going to have to do it differently probably for the next two games. And however long Stefanovic is out, and however long it takes for Stefanovic to get back in shape here, I don't know, you know, I obviously can't speak to what kind of shape he's in right now, but it stands to reason to suggest that being in the hole for, you know, 2 weeks or whatever it's going to be, mid-season is not conducive to popping right out of that and performing at peak level. So it's going to be interesting to see and important for Purdue to find out, you know, how long it's going to take Stefanovic to get back to the form he's been playing at all season long. He's been an absolute rock for Purdue all year. I think he's been a borderline all Big Ten sort of guy.
You know, you look back to that game on Friday and how everything sort of turned out. I do think, and, you know, I don't know all the details of what Purdue is doing from a protocol point of view, other than what I can see on TV. And I do appreciate that Matt Painter wears his mask and that other people around the Purdue programs wear their mask. And that even in, you know, I know that the locker room stuff, they know they're being recorded, but that it's happening there when you look at a lot of what's happening elsewhere. And I know that's part of the reason why Purdue felt like he could play on Friday night and Michigan felt like it was okay to play. You know, I think it's a separate issue, not a conspiracy theorist, a separate issue, what's going on with the Wolverines now. But, I mean, I think there's something to be said for, you know, Purdue. And that's not to say that somebody else is going to get sick and, you know, Purdue couldn't end up getting shut down too at some point. But I do have a little bit of an appreciation for how Purdue and Matt Painter has handled all of this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Michigan thing had nothing to do with Purdue. I mean, that just doesn't happen overnight. You know, you don't have 15 people with a new or however many it is, five confirmed cases, 15 suspected cases, whatever it might be, of a new strain because you played a basketball game the night before. That's just not reality. And I'm not saying you were suggesting it was, but I have seen some people on the internet, you know, saying, oh, thanks, Purdue. No, it has nothing to do with Purdue. But to your point about Purdue handling this the right way, they certainly seem to be. I know Purdue seems pretty conscientious about it, at least. You know, we've had guys show up for Zoom press conferences still wearing their masks and stuff like that. And they seem to be doing all the right things here. You know, as you said, Matt Painter's been handling this the right way by every indication. You know, they pulled Stefanovic out as soon as they had any inkling to believe that he might have had this thing. And as Painter told it after the game the other day, he had a couple of false negatives, I guess, if I understood that correctly. And they could have put him right back into the mix, but they played it safe there and said, no, we don't believe the results, so we're gonna keep him out. They didn't necessarily have to do that. I think a lot of reasonable people would have, but you know, if you were being fast and loose with this stuff, you might have handled things a little bit differently. I mean, we've just seen all sorts of examples of Purdue over the last 6 months or so doing the right thing all across the athletic department. Best we can tell. I mean, we don't know what happens behind closed doors, but I tend to believe what I see is reality. So kudos to Purdue for, you know, at least being conscientious about all of this.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, you could do everything you could possibly do right and still and still get shut down. I don't think it's as easy as saying, "Oh, Michigan has screwed everything up here," and all of a sudden, you know, their whole athletic program is shut down.
Well, the virus is smarter than we are. It just is. Yeah. I mean, it's a clever little bastard that we can't stop. And you know, Purdue. I said this a couple times here in the last few days, is that, you know, COVID-19's path to affecting Purdue's basketball roster this season, if you know what I mean, was a pretty narrow one. And there were only so many guys eligible to get it, shall we say. And sure enough, they couldn't stop it. And I know there are schools out there doing all the right things, but, you know, at the end of the day, these are our students engaging in interstate travel. They are students engaging on a campus full of tens of thousands of other people who happen to just come back from the holidays. Funny how so many cases came up right after Thanksgiving, wasn't it? And now right after the holidays, you know, Purdue gets, I have no idea how Stefanovic got it. I'm not speculating. I'm just saying that this is a really hard thing that we're trying to pull off here in terms of playing college sports in a pandemic. And there's only so much you can control, and what you can control is virtually nothing. And this just goes to show you that the virus is smarter than we are, and wherever there's a crack in the door, the virus is going to sneak through. And again, that's what everybody signed up for here. This almost takes on the feeling of a weird science experiment. but you know, the most important part of this for everybody was to A, keep the athletes safe best you can, but also try to have a season the best you can. And it's a hard line to walk. You know, there were some definite ethical implications in all of this too, but you know, they've come this far. This is what everybody wanted to do. This is what everybody signed up for, and just kind of have to make the best of it at this point.
Right. Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Mr. Tom Dienhart. We'll talk a little bit of football with him. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue Up designs. Check it out today. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, sell, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text 765-412-5217. Or email me at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa, not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at purdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
And this week, at least in terms of football, was a big one. Purdue now has its defensive coaching staff. Kyle here with Tom to talk a little bit about that. Brad Lambert, Tom, the new co-defensive coordinator for the Boilermakers. I know here over the last several days you've had a chance to talk to those who know him best, having coached with him or played for him or what have you. What can you tell me about Purdue's newest staff member?
Yeah, I got a chance to talk to Jim Donnan, Marshall in Georgia. Really played a big role in shaping Brad early in his career, gave him his first full-time job at Marshall. And, of course, then Jim Grobe, head coach at Wake, who hired Brad as a assistant in the D.C. So, yeah, you know, the thing about Brad is both those guys related. A guy, I think you're going to like this, Kyle. He's going to adapt his scheme to the personnel. And that was a message that came loud and clear from both Don and Grobe. An intense coach, a smart coach, a respected coach. Again, has a lot of experience. He's 55 years old, been a coordinator, a lot of stops. Almost got that Marshall job. You know, he was on that staff last year with Doc Holliday. Doc Holliday sort of surprisingly got fired. Donnan did all he could to try to get him the job. So I think he was getting a sage mind and a guy who's smart enough to know he's not going to try to force a round peg into a square hole.
Yeah. I don't know. How would you have gone about firing a successful coach very strangely and then hiring one of his assistants as your head coach? That's,
yeah, I know. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that, I know. That seems very strange.
I know it would have been odd. I mean, yeah, again, a long shot, I'm sure. But I think Brad was respectful enough where they at least listened to him out. But again,
yeah,
you know, another thing about Brad that these coaches reiterated was he has played a number of different schemes and alignments. They played a 3-3-5 for a while at Wake Forest. That was because he had a propensity of good defensive backs, as Jim Grobe said. Then as time went on, they would morph more to a four-man front, so played some 3-4. So, again, Brad's a guy who's not married to one scheme. That's his baby. Again, he's a guy who's played multiple schemes and alignments, and like I said off the top here, a guy who's going to, you know, evaluate his personnel, see what he's got, and try to build around that.
Well, it's going to be an interesting evaluation of that defensive personnel because I was sort of putting it together a little bit last week and looking at potential starters, let alone, you know, considering the whole two deep. There's only about five or six guys that you know that you can pencil in there and say for certain these are guys that you're going to put in these positions, right? So, I mean, it's going to be a big spring for him and the rest of this new defensive staff to sort of figure out exactly, you know, what that looks like to get your best 11 and then, you know, whoever your best 15 are that are going to play.
You're right. Not a lot of sure things, but I think there's some talent to work with on the defensive side of the ball. You got to build around your linchpins, of course, George Karloftis. We know he's going to be an end. And then DeMarcus Mitchell, Kyle, 6'3", 270 pounds, sort of like a Juwan Bentley, played that cap position last year where he sometimes lined up on with his hand in the dirt as an end, other times as a linebacker. What are they going to do with him? Is he going to be a full-time man, a linebacker? So regardless, we all know he's one of the better players on that defense, without a doubt. And then, again, the potential of other guys. You know, Corey Trice, you know, he's going to be your number one cornerback. I like two safeties, Cam Allen and Marvin Grant. Going back to the linebacker, Kyle, I'm really intrigued by that spot. In addition, obviously, to Mitchell, Jalen Alexander will be back, played a lot of football. Jalen Graham, first-year linebacker last year. I think we all like what he can maybe become. Kylie Saunders, a young guy, of course, the guy
Brothers.
From Auburn, OC Brothers. And then I also forgot about the other guy, Joseph Anderson from South Carolina, the defensive end, the other transfer in addition to Brothers, you know, those two guys as well. So I guess my point, long story short, is I think there's some talent there for this new staff to try to mold together into a solid defense.
Spring football will be here before you know it.
Yeah, you know, I hear February 19th. If you can believe it, that's the murmurings I'm hearing. It's when Purdue's going to take the lid off, but we'll see if that's the case. Purdue typically, since I've jumped in the fray here, the first week of spring ball has always been that last week of February. This would be an earlier start. So I guess why wait? They're still building this roster, Kyle. I think they're going to be building this roster and adding pieces to it all the way through the summer, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, and the latest addition there was a punter, right? I mean, you're talking about a position where you sort of just make assumptions that it's going to be fine. It's actually a little bit of a miracle, I think, that position did not hurt Purdue worse than it did in 2020.
Yeah, you know, you take guys like Joe Schopper for granted sometimes when they're so steady and consistent, right? And remember Cody Webster a while back as well was an outstanding punter for Purdue. And last year, Kyle, I mean, you can't sugarcoat it. It was a spot that really struggled. finished 13th in the Big Ten in average. Not that that's everything, but again, just to give you some perspective there. Three different guys punted the ball last year. A fourth guy, if you want to count the quarterback, Jack Plummer. They got to get this figured out. You know, Brooks Cormier's on scholarship. Zach Collins is back. Brendan Crops, he was a true freshman walk-on last year. His only punt got blocked. And then, of course, you referred to Jack Ansell, the Australian punter who committed last Friday publicly. I got a chance to speak with Jack and had the story up on the site over the weekend. Interesting guy, you know, good-looking athlete, 6'3", 215. Big Ten punters are all dotted all across rosters in the Big Ten, Kyle. There's some good ones in the conference, too. Now Purdue has an Aussie punter. They're also going to have two punters on scholarship, which is unique, isn't it? But, again,
yeah.
You know, this doesn't come without risk and peril, right? Jack Ansell, he's never punted in the game, obviously. Never been to Purdue. And he's really only been working as a punter for about a year now. So, again, while he's got potential, I'm sure he's older. He's 23 years old as well. He's more mature. I guess everybody's got some risk involved to him, but it's going to be fun to watch this kid try to develop. And he wants to try to get over here by May, he told me.
Yeah. All right, Tom, out of time. Thank you.
Be good, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that next on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
The podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Sit it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you are guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Tyler Koppelman a call today at 323-607-8802. Or email Tyler directly at kkoppelman, KKOPPELMAN, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, Equal Access Lender, licensed in more than 40 states, www.jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And out of time for this podcast this week, be sure to check out Golden Black Radio Express as news happens during the week. You guys will break it down in podcast form. Be sure to subscribe to Golden Black Radio, however you are listening to this podcast right now. All right, thanks to our sponsors, as always, and for Brian Newbert and Tom Deanhart. I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.